We say hello now to our friend, forever Titans wide receiver, the great Chris Sanders. Maybe number 81 in your programs, but number one in your hearts.
Man, what is going on? How you doing? Y'all doing good?
We're doing good. We are ready for a fun weekend of football, college football. How about the Ohio State University taking on Oregon? That should be a fun one.
I don't think Oregon can handle the physicality of the Ohio State University, but man, I mean, you never know what can happen, because if you look at last week in the NCAA, I mean, look at all the teams that got beat. You got Vanderbilt beating Alabama. You got USC losing. So you don't know what the heck is going to happen.
Let me ask you this. Sure. Along the lines of Vanderbilt beating Alabama.
Man, unbelievable.
It's by far the biggest win of obviously the year, but maybe in Vanderbilt history. I mean, it was huge. You beat the number one team in the country. If you're Clark Lee, though, you want to enjoy that. You want your guys to enjoy that. But you got to go to Lexington and take care of business against Kentucky. So how are you, I mean, combating that or dealing with that? Like, as a coach, what do you have to do to kind of try and get them refocused?
You know, the thing about it is, I mean, we have a 24-hour rule. You want to enjoy it for the first 24 hours, but at the end of the day, you got to go and play the next game, because if you, just like last week, you beat Alabama, then you go up to Kentucky and you lose, I mean, it's still going to put a bad taste in your mouth, because you did something great, and then all of a sudden you come back and you lose a game. So as a coach and as a position coach, what I have to do is I got to make sure then my guys are still prepared mentally, because if you look at last week, I mean, mentally, just think about what you just did mentally. You didn't just beat a team. You beat Alabama, the number one ranked team in the country. So now you got to get back focused. You got to practice. You got to go back in meeting rooms, you know, and treat, you know, Kentucky just like you treated Alabama.
Talking to Chris Sanders. All right, so we'll get to the Titans in just a moment. You guys won a big game last week on the road up in Knoxville, and you rallied down. How much fun was that?
It was, you know what the crazy part about it is, you know, we lost our starting quarterback, you know, the first game of the season against Pearl Cone. So we have a true freshman. I mean, I think he's still 13 or 14. I mean, maybe he's that old. But to watch him mature as a quarterback, to watch him, you know, on the last drive, he hurt his ankle, you know, the drive before that. And here's what he did. He came to the sidelines. He said, "Coach, I can still run the ball." So when you have a 13, 14-year-old freshman, you know, they shouldn't even be playing varsity right now to lead your team to victory. I mean, it's just one of those games that you'll never forget.
Yeah, and you guys got Lipscomb Academy tonight, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we got it. We got to go there. I mean, they got a really good team. They got a good program. I know they're 1-5 right now. Don't let the record, you know, deter you of thinking they're not a good team. They got a big physical front. They got a big quarterback. They got some good wide receivers. So we just got to go and just, you know, play muscle ball and just try to, you know, pound the rock.
I love most of all. All right, let's turn our attention to Sunday, Colts and the Titans.
Let's go.
Chase and I, we have an argument. Do you start Will Levis or do you start Mason Rudolph?
Don't do me like that. I think you have to start Will Levis. I mean, you got to start him. But here's the deal. It's a short leash, because if Will Levis goes out there and throws an interception on the first or second series, I mean, it's going to be like, okay, here we go again, and then Rudolph is going to get in there. Because if you look at the last couple of games, if the Tennessee Titans are good at the quarterback situation, the Tennessee Titans kids be sitting here at 4-0. But you have your quarterback that's making bad decisions, and you just can't have that. If you look at when, you know, they go against? The team that they went against last time, look at what Rudolph did when he came into the game. The whole atmosphere changed. The energy of the team changed.
Yes, thank you.
It changed. And then, but check this out. This is why it changed. Is because if you look at the 2-minute drill, you know, it was 16 seconds left on the clock. Rudolph knew that he had to get rid of the ball quickly. So he got it to Tyler Boyd. You know, he kneels it down. There's 1 second on the clock. If Levis is in the game, I think he holds the ball too long and you don't get those 3 points and you go into halftime, you know, with a bad taste in your mouth.
Thank you. And I told Chase this, and I hate seeing anybody get injured, but when Levis came out and Rudolph came in, it was like, okay, no more stupid flip passes, no more this and that. He's just going to – and he did. He wasn't beautiful. He wasn't spectacular, but he just ran the offense like a robot and made no mistakes, and it just felt better at that moment. So that's where I'm conflicted going forward.
You know what the thing about it is, too, is, and this is my opinion, I think Levis is the better quarterback. He has a better arm, and he's – You know, he runs better than Rudolph. But Rudolph makes better decisions. I mean, if you look at what he did, I mean, he's getting the ball that quick. I mean, he's only 9 for 15 for 100-some yards, even though the stats wasn't there. But the one stat that really counts is having a goose egg in the turnover department.
Chris Sanders is with us. But, yeah, and here's my thing with Levis.
Sure.
And I'm going to be blunt when I say this, so, you know, this is how it is. But I feel like they're having to coach the stupid out of him, and I don't know how you do that sometimes. I mean, there's just some of the decisions that he's made. Yeah. You can sit there as a player and a coach and go, sure. What are you doing? Like, I mean, you know, you see the trying to make a play and hero ball and things like that, but at the end of the day, it's just a dumb decision. How do you coach that out, or can you?
I mean, you're going to – the thing about it is, I mean, and I know this sounds cliche, and I'm going to be a coach right now, but you're going to have to sit him down and say, okay, man, we can't have these mistakes. I mean, and, you know, and Brian Callahan is doing a great job by being in the media by saying, okay, he's got to work on this and send it in a nice way. But if I'm behind closed doors, first of all, I'm going to take my belt off, and I'm going to say, man, if you do this again, you're going to get a spanking. I mean you got to do to say, man, you know, like Mama and them used to do, boy, if you do that one more time, I'm going to get you. But – he's just got to understand that if he just plays in the compounds of the game, don't make mistakes and just, you know, take care of the football, you could be in a great position. Look at the situation with Green Bay. He throws an interception for pick six. And then the situation with the Jets, you know, you're up 7-0 and you're in the red zone and you're about to score and you try to push the ball back to Pollard. You just can't make those type of decisions.
Yeah, and that's the part that concerns me. Now let's look at the receivers.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I need more. Yeah. And I don't know if that's scheming, if that's quarterback, if it's the receivers themselves.
Sure.
I need to see 0 and I need to see 10 a lot more
Absolutely.
Than I'm seeing.
And you just look at these guys. I mean, you got Hopkins, you got Boyd. And here's the thing that I'm kind of struggling with, because we're looking at Calvin Ridley. He should be stretching the field. His longest pass is 40 yards. Hopkins is 20. And I think Boyd is only 27. They have to stretch the ball downfield. They got to make sure to get the guys the ball. Now, here's what you can do. And I know Brian Callahan and Nick Holtz are great, you know, schemers. But here's what I would do. I would go with 10 personnel, 1 back, 0 tight ends, and 4 wide receivers. And then I put them in a bunch set. When I say a bunch set, that means 3 receivers bunched to the right and then 1 to the left. So now you have 3 receivers bunched to the left. You have a lot of guys over there. And then you isolate the X receiver one-on-one. So you can have Calvin Ridley over there, or you can have D-Hop over there to go one-on-one. So now you can get the plays downfield and make those explosive plays that we want to see.
So you get 4 receivers, you go 4 wide like that. I've always, you know, I tell chases all the time, you can't cover everybody. So
Absolutely. You're
hoping that your 4th receiver is better than that 4th DB, and it usually is.
Yep.
Take advantage of these things.
I mean, you have to. It's about getting matchups, and that's what Brian Callahan does. I got to find a matchup. We go – like when I played with the Tennessee Titans my 3rd or 4th year, we would always look in the secondary, okay, we're going after this guy. We're going after that guy. So what Les Steckel would do, he'll be like, okay, we're going 3-by-1. When I say 3-by-1, just like what you said, 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. So now I'm isolated with Brim, and he's been in the league for like 17,000 years, and he runs a 5-7. I run a 4-1, so 4-2, it sounds kind of better. But I release, get off the press, and now you just throw it up, the ball up, and let him go make a play. That's exactly what Brian Callahan and Nick Holtz has to do. Is say, you know what, 3-by-1, keep Calvin Ridley a little bit, and just throw the ball up and let those guys make plays, and we'll see those longer plays.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about this, is that, you know, I witnessed it last night at the MTSU-Louisiana Tech game. Why not take those deep shots 4 or 5 times? Because I'm telling you, look, if they intercepted it, that's 50 yards down the field. That's a punt.
True.
But I'm telling you, Christian, you've seen this in your career, and you were great at this.
Thank
Oftentimes, you're going to catch that ball.
Yeah.
Just go deep every now and then. Nobody goes deep anymore. What you said.
Yeah, but the only problem with that is you got to know if it's a 2-safety high. If you have a 2-safety high, now you can go deep, but it might not be on a perimeter. You may go a 2-by-2, 2 receivers to the right, 2 receivers to the left. And now, as opposed to hitting those receivers on the perimeter, you're hitting those seams. Hit those seams and hit those deep. We call them skinnies, you know, in, with the number 2 receiver. Do things like that. So now if they go to, a cover one, when I say cover one, that's 1 safety and it's man-to-man across the board, and just lie with your eyes to the right and then come back to the left, you know, to where the receiver's one-on-one on the backside. So those are the type of things that you can do to try to get those receivers to football.
You know what play that I see more and more in college this year than I haven't seen in a long time, and the pros do it too for a while, but more than I've seen in college, is that late tight end release. He stays in the block, guys clear out, and then he releases five. Chris, he's always open. That tight end's always open, and he gets 15, 20 yards. It's just a play that, for some reason now, works every single time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great play because the thing about it is if you got your linebackers and your safeties that are reading your tight end to see if he's doing the down block, and if he's doing the down block, then the linebacker's not going to pay attention to him. But if he's there, then also releases late, and that's why you see those 15, 16 yards pass. Wycheck was beautiful at that because he was an actor. He was very good at that to where I'm acting like I'm blocking. Then I release late. But then all of a sudden, you get away with it once, you get away with it twice, and all of a sudden you got to be careful because then that's when the defensive coordinator is going to pick that thing off.
He is the great Chris Sanders, joins us every Friday at 10 o'clock. Chris, who's NBA got tonight?
Man, we have Lipscomb.
Oh, yeah, okay, Lipscomb.
Yeah, they're good. They're 1-5, and they're really, 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 really good. So we just got a great coach, great organization, and we got to make it do what it do, just like Ray Charles said, got to make it do what it do.
Amen to that. Best of luck tonight. We'll talk next week.
Hey, can I ask you a question? I ain't going to hang up. I promise you I'm not going to hang up.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, who's winning the City Dog Underpick game? I need to know.
I think it's still you right now.
Okay. Hey, I just ask.
By the way, Kelly Holcomb told me to tell you to shut up. So.
hey, no.
Hey, I'm just the messenger, okay?
I appreciate it. Love you guys so much. Thank you.
Love you too, Chris.
All right, bye.
Chris Sanders joins us every Friday at 10 o'clock, and, of course, he is part of Silly Dog.
Silly Dog, whatever it's called.
Silly Underdog. Piss.
Somebody get this man his coffee.
No.
I know. I need some coffee. I need something.
Nope.
That is for sure. Hey, also, Chris will be a part of the pregame show with Jared Stillman and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's in Nashville on Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 6 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.